Our Bible reading this morning is Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Babies attract so much attention, don't they? No matter where we go, whether it's housing units, Tesco, Spindles, there are always people who just gaze and admire Olivia as they meet them. And for many, there is a deep-seated desire to gaze upon a little child and to hold them. A lot of the people who come to WOW just want to hold, even if it's only for a minute or two, but just that sense of holding a live, living being. Yet sadly, when we get to the other scale of age, we're not so keen, are we? Many avert their gaze when there is infirmity or acute signs of ageing. Phrases such as, "There's nothing nice about growing old," are said. And for many, there is a temptation to turn away and ignore. And nevertheless, I've seen so many examples of selfless giving and joyful caring over these past weeks. People have given of time and themselves to love and to care for Clifford. It's been a truly family time, working together in providing for all his needs. And you know, it takes grace as well to receive care. It's not always easy, is it, when someone else has to button your shirt up or wipe your mouth or things like that. It takes grace to allow that to happen as well. And all of these are things that we can give thanks to God for. We began our service today with a song of thanksgiving. And as I said, Clifford told me that we had to begin with that because we had to begin with thankfulness for God. And each night, as he's gone to bed and we've prayed, it's been thank you, God, for a good day. God has to be at the centre of all our actions and his love. And our thankfulness to him has to be right there at the very core of our being. In the midst of his difficulties, and each day is increasingly difficult for him in walking and breathing, Clifford is constantly giving thanks to God for his provision. I said before that, and as he has always done, Clifford will lead us in this final stage of his life here on earth. His example is relevant not only to our individual lives, but also to our corporate life. Thankfulness to God for his faithfulness, his mercy and grace through the years is the starting point for us seeking his face and direction. When we reflect on how the Lord has led us in the past, why should we doubt that he will lead us for the future? That fourth verse of the 23rd Psalm has been with me throughout these past 8 weeks. Even though I walk through the valley Of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we thought before about the comforter, you know, this long rod that the shepherd has that he uses to poke the sheep, but also other, and the Bayeux tapestry, I think it is as well there, that long thing that prods people on and urges them forward. And so this whole sense of rod and staff comforting me, those two aspects of it. Yes, there's that sense of being enfolded in God's love and his presence, but there's also that sense of being urged on, going forward, moving into new areas. And in the hours spent in waiting rooms, in listening to laboured breathing, in cleaning and washing and caring, I've known the comfort of God's presence and strength provided, and that calmness of spirit. Now, it's not always like that. There are times when I go back to relying on myself, and then I have wobbly days, wobbly times. But these are the times when other people have stepped in to support and comfort, and they've been used by God to display their love and provision. And yet, I've known too that other aspect of comfort, of being urged on and encouraged in areas that I would much rather not go to of my natural self. And in the same way, we can know God's promise never to leave us or forsake us as we journey together through this valley of the shadow of death. Instead of turning away from death, let us embrace the opportunities to display our love and our thankfulness to God for all that he has given. Let us continue to support and encourage one another as we deal with our personal issues concerning the dying process. Death, we know, for those who put their trust in Jesus is wonderful because they're released from the pain and struggles of time, and that they will go to be with Christ. But the process of getting there can create fear and distress if we allow it. But this psalm makes the declaration, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so we choose not to fear, but to put our trust in God's abiding presence. In the same way, in the processes that we are going through as a church family, processes put in place last January, long before we knew about Clifford's condition, we're facing death. Death of one who has faithfully led God's people for over 60 years, but also death of the structures of church governance as we know them at present. And this can bring fear if we allow it. It's imperative, therefore, that we remain united, as I said at the beginning, in seeking God's purposes and in resisting anything that the enemy would do to undermine that unity. If we come to God as one people, with hearts made over to him, offering ourselves in service to him and seeking his guidance, then he will provide it. But the question is, how serious are we in our love for God and for each other? Do we merely pay lip service to the local body, dipping in and out as it suits us, without any commitment to the ongoing work and witness? Or do we give ourselves wholeheartedly to God and his word? Or do we just pick and choose the sections that we like and ignore those that mean a change of lifestyle? Someone said to me recently that all they'd taken from our worship services was a sense that they needed to do better. And that's not the intention here. What I'm seeking to put across is that we're going to be required to be earnest, to be wholehearted, and to be open before God and each other if we're going to discover his direction. There's no shortcuts. There's no easy way to this. And I suspect it's going to be a bit painful as well. Once we start making our own plans, deciding on who we think is best suited to do this or that, directing from the world's perspective, then we're in treacherous waters. Clifford was showing me a recent article produced by the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity entitled Feet of Clay. And it was concerning all the prominent politicians, sportsmen and celebrities who've recently been discovered to have those feet of clay. All the things that our newspapers have been full of just recently. Not only individuals, but the politicians, misuse of expenses, journalists hacking into people's privacy, police doctoring their factual reports. They've all come to light. W.B. Yeats wrote, "Things fall apart. The centre cannot hold." Is it merely coincidence that all these things are suddenly coming to light? Or is it the result of years of faithful prayers offered to God for his cleansing and renewing of our nation? It certainly shouldn't surprise us, for our country has long ago lost its hold of the only stable centre or foundation, Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." Nor are we to fall into the trap of thinking that it can never happen to us. We're all in danger of exposure, for we all have feet of clay. Jesus went on to say, "Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You find those in Luke's Gospels, chapters 12 and 13. It's so vitally important that Jesus is our foundation, that he is at the centre of our individual lives and of our corporate life together. We have a very long way to go to finding how God wants us to be. The building project was 13 years before we put a spade in the ground. And I'm not suggesting it's going to take that length of time, but I am saying that it won't be a quick process. Future generations will look back on this time. What are they going to see? Let us ensure that we're providing a godly heritage for them. This month's newsletter includes an article by Clifford, and he refers to the Church of the Future. Please keep this paper. It's for future reference in the ongoing process of seeking God's will. But Clifford points out that that was the prayer of the early founders of the church here. They weren't looking at how it suited them. They were looking at what they could build that would be present for future generations. And as we come to this whole process, we're not looking at what can this be for us. We're looking at what is God saying for those generations still coming and those yet unborn. The Lord is our shepherd if we allow him. He will provide all that we need if we trust in him. Let us together seek him. It will require time. It will require effort. There will be times when we would much rather be doing something else, but we're called to pray. There will be times when it all seems too much to be bothered about, but we need to be there. And it's in those times that God will speak. I know that we will not be disappointed and he will not abandon us. So we go forward into the future not knowing, but we go forward with the sure and certain hope and trust that God is with us. He will lead us and he will guide us. Amen. We're going to come to our time of prayers of intercession, and there may